Art, you said this had to happen a while back. Mm-hmm. What's the significance of Ichiro now being willing to give up the leadoff spot?
I don't think lineups are as big a deal as a lot of people make them out to be as far as getting some sort of strategic advantage from Ichiro hitting first or third or fifth or eighth or whatever. Certainly the leadoff hitter always gets more at-bats, and that was a big deal for Ichiro because he validated his existence with the 200-hit minimum, you know, but that's over now. He only hit 184 last year, and it's a wonderful record, but so what? It's done. And now Ichiro, by agreeing to do something he didn't want to do, which is leave the leadoff position, has taken one for the team. And that's something that he hasn't seemed to do very much for most of his career, at least in the perception of fans. He's got a little bit of a different value system, showing up and delivering hits every day, you know, almost like a metronome. That's his value. But now he's saying, all right, if you want me to hit third, I will. And he's adjusting his batting stroke accordingly. He's attempting to hit the ball differently than going for the infield chop. He's trying to drive the ball to the outfield, which is what the typical number three hitter is supposed to do. So give him credit for adjusting, for trying, realizing he's 38 years old and things need to be different this year.
So talking now about who's going to be in the leadoff position, it's going to be Sean Figgins.
Yes, and that did not thrill a lot of Mariner fans. Figgins hit 188 last year in 81 games. He had a hip problem. He was injured. So Figgins thinks that he can come back to the form that got him that $36 million contract over 4 years from the Mariners as a free agent. 2 years remain on that, and the issue here for putting him in leadoff is not that he's going to do that. It's to showcase him in case he does so the Mariners can trade him, because there's probably about, I'm guessing, maybe a 25% chance that Figgins will revert to the form that he had years ago when he was a productive player for the Angels. But there's a zero chance he will if he's on the bench. So the Mariners have to showcase him. The problem with that, and this is the despairing part, I think, for the Mariner fans, is that there always seems to be somebody in the lineup who's there for reasons other than being the best possible player for that lineup. Milton Bradley in left field was a guy they were trying to showcase in the event of a trade last year. The year before that, it was Carlos Silva, the pitcher, who was making way too much money for his value, but they trotted him out there hoping to get a trade. Well, if Figgins doesn't hit, he's going to go back to the bench and they're going to eventually cut him and have to eat the balance of his contract. Not a good thing. And it's money. It's not about successful play. And the issue here is that when Figgins makes an out at age 34, a strikeout or whatever, it's a dead out. But if you have a 24-year-old up-and-comer like Kyle Seager at third base, he will learn from his outs and learn about the opposing pitchers and become a better player. So occupying that spot with a veteran who is being showcased is, unless he hits very, very well, is a waste. And the Mariners have been doing that a lot. And that's where the despair sets in for many a Mariner fan with this lineup change.
All right, Art, thanks.
My pleasure.
KPLU sports commentator Art Thiel joins us every week at this time. His website is Sports Press Northwest at sportspressnw.com. You can download Sports with Art Thiel and other KPLU commentaries at kplu.org. I'm Kirsten Kendrick.